Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events may help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Now let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Thank you for joining me live here on Real Liberty Media, or thanks for downloading the podcast wherever you can get the podcast. Man, things are changing like crazy in the world, aren't they? With Twitter going, Musk taking over, things are getting crazy. Let's go over our little announcements to get things rolling here. This is the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media, and I don't turn left. I'm just a guy having fun, making light of the darkness, and maybe kind of sharing some information, you know, along the way. Well, I share information, whether it's useful or not, we'll never know. Hey, could y'all, if you're part of a social media platform, just post that we're live or post that people can come and get the podcast here at Real Liberty Media or wherever they listen to podcasts. And we'll grow this community. By the way, I have a locals now. It's on Rumble only so far because I have to figure out how to put it on all the other platforms. But it's cool, you know, just another thing, another way for people to support creators. And hopefully, you know, people will find it worthy. Man, there's so much going on in the world. I was looking over, oh, a couple more things. I got to finish my intro for crying out loud. You can catch Behind the Woodshed with Hal Anthony on Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern. Going to say it again, Hal's an amazing guy. 2 hours, nonstop information. The guy doesn't stop to drink, doesn't stop to take a commercial. He doesn't stop to take a breath, hardly ever. I don't know if that's true. Yeah, he has to. But anyway, I love listening to Hal Anthony. So his show's live Sundays. 3 p.m. Eastern, catch it tomorrow, or you can also download that podcast from Real Liberty Media, and I suppose some other places too. Okay, let's get rolling here. So much to talk about again. Okay, on the homestead, basically, we're kind of moving into that time where we got to start cleaning up. Like, hang on one sec. Okay, we have to start cleaning up, you know, everything's kind of overgrown. You know, we got to clean out the landscaping area. We got to till the garden up pretty soon. There's still some things coming on there. So, you know, we have time to do everything. But I'm telling you, it's kind of crazy. There's very little time where you're not doing anything. There's a little bit of time when you first get your garden in, where really you don't have to do much at all. But even then, you know, it's good to go down and kick out some weeds, make sure your plants are getting all the water and nutrients from the soil and those dang weeds aren't killing everything, stealing the nutrients and, you know, slowing down your garden growth. We have the sauerkraut is now a week and 3 days. It's been brewing, I guess you could call it. We tried it on Friday. It was good, but it wasn't really sour, and you could just tell it still had a ways to go, but it was good, so I'm looking forward to that. And man, if we find out that this is how easy it is to make sauerkraut, man, it's going to be on. We're going to be making a lot of kraut. It is a little bit stinky, I guess, if you do it in your house, like we're doing it in the house. And one night, a few days ago, we were heading to bed and we were like, what is that smell? And then we were thinking, oh, it's got to be the sauerkraut. And sure enough, it's the sauerkraut. Some people have said in the past that it's horrible. I don't think it is horrible. I don't know, maybe I'm weird, but I don't think it's a horrible smell. I did want to tell you, this is kind of crazy. So I have a bunch of mullein plants from last year's one mullein plant. And this year I had a ton of first year mullein plants. And I had like, I don't know, 10 second year mullein plants. But I had this one, well, I should say I have this one that was a first year plant. And I think what happened is it stayed sunny so long that it actually started developing a stalk like about a week ago, which is really crazy because all my other second year mullein plants are, their stalks have flowered and, they're basically getting ready to go to, to make seed so we can have more mullein next year. And this one is just now putting up this real short, stubby stalk. I'll probably take a picture of that and put it on Imgur where people can have a look. Anyway, it's kind of interesting. I think that's what happened. I mean, I'm just making an assumption because, it shouldn't have done that, I don't think, as a first year plant. But it just was so sunny for so long. Like literally 1 week ago, we started getting rain here in the Pacific Northwest, well, in Oregon, where I am. And usually it's rainy in September and then October and throughout until May or June. And this year it was just sunny, blue sky, sunshine. You guys heard me talk about it pretty much every show up until, well, Friday last week. And we're getting ready to get hit with like this atmospheric river, they like to call it. And we're going to get pounded with rain and cold. And yeah, it is cold. It's not freezing cold by any means, but it's cold, like 40s and 50s. And it'll be getting colder, of course, as we go forward. But anyway, yeah, so that's what's going on the homestead. Really not a lot. Just getting ready to do some cleanup. Hey, Vincent Easley is coming this week. I think he's coming on Thursday. So we're going to meet up. Vincent Easley is the current owner. And I don't know what you want to call him. He's the one who has taken over Real Liberty Media. It was left to him by Grimner, the original, one of the original creators of Real Liberty Media. So that'll be cool. So he'll be here. I think he's going to stay here at the homestead for a few days. And we're going to work on some stuff and work out some stuff and just hang out. Maybe go see Cowboy Tech too. I think we'll probably all get together somewhere along the way. And Cowboy Tech's in the chat room for people who don't know, is one of the regulars here. And yeah, it should be pretty cool. What else we got going? That's pretty much it for introduction and what's going on the homestead. I did get led to a couple really awesome videos that I absolutely have to try out. It's kind of funny. One of these things I've been thinking pretty much all my life, why this wouldn't work. And it turns out this guy did exactly what I was thinking and it worked. And this is what he did. He took a generator, an automobile generator, and he put really long blades on it and made it a wind powered generator. And I always thought that because automobile generators, there's a fan belt that turns them, and when it turns them, they create energy to feed back into the system and charge your battery and stuff. And I always thought, well, if you could just get the wind to turn that thing, wouldn't it create energy? Well, sure enough, it does. So we're going to do that. We're going to build one of those and see how much energy it will produce. They actually even sell these little generators now that have, really good bearings in them, so they spin easily. And that's the one thing you want, is you don't want a lot of drag because, you want your generator spinning freely to create energy. And yeah, I'm going to try that out. It should be fun. It'll probably be somewhat disappointing, kind of like the solar panel or solar powered generator I purchased. But I was kind of thinking, man, if I hooked up the solar powered generator or the solar panels and the wind turbine generator and connected them to a battery and then ran stuff off of the battery, so whenever the wind was blowing, I'd store energy. Whenever the sun was out, I'd store energy. And eventually, I would use it off the battery. And at least you would have two different sources of energy. I still am 100% convinced that fossil fuel is the only way to go. Oh, this is another interesting thing. So, I have a LinkedIn profile, and it's usually dental people who contact me, headhunters who are looking for dentists, and usually the ones who are contact me are looking for, you know, senior dentists with a lot of experience who are, you know, would be willing to do whatever kind of work. But this week, the United Nations looked at my profile. And I was thinking, oh, great. And it's probably nothing. I mean, maybe they're just going through looking at, you know, random profiles. I'm not going to be paranoid about it. Sorry. But I did have this thought that I did this kind of simple math to show how it's impossible to provide power to everybody in the world with solar panels, because there's just not enough land mass to do it. I mean, you couldn't even provide enough power for everybody in the United States with all the land mass in the United States. And I didn't even subtract out areas that you wouldn't, there's no possible way you would be able to put solar panels up. And so I was thinking, oh, great. So now because I'm a, you know, green power denier, maybe that's why they're looking at my profile. But like I said, I'm not going to get paranoid about it, but it is kind of weird that they just so happen to jump on there and look at my profile. First time ever I've ever had a government agency look at my profile and actually leave a footprint. I'm sure people look at your profiles all the time, you know, to see what, you know, people are up to. But they probably don't leave a footprint so much. I have to charge something up here. Okay, good. We're good. It's all good. So Nancy Pelosi's husband was attacked with a hammer. And I wrote this little piece. Nancy Pelosi will likely be calling for a voluntary hammer turn-in program since the attack on her husband's. Hammers are very, very dangerous in your house, your car, your place of work, and especially in or near our schools. Hammers can be taken from you and used against you in the case of a home intrusion. We recommend locking up your hammers in a hammer safe and providing a child safety lock on the actual hammer, which will prevent it from being used by your children and likely yourself if you need to access it quickly to defend your home and property from a crazed political extremist. Hammers from this point forward will be banned. The manufacturers have said devices will be held accountable for any and all assaults with hammers. People don't kill people, hammers do. So much for that. Oh, okay, so most of today, I'm going to focus on the damage that the spike protein causes to the human body. And that spike protein can come from either getting the COVID virus, the disease, so-called, defined by the World Health Organization and Anthony Fauci, et cetera, or by the COVID jab that only puts the spike protein, basically parts of the spike protein in your body, and with some mRNA code to assemble that spike protein into a spike protein. It takes all the little parts and puts them together and then sends it out into your body so you'll make an immune response. I was looking back through the last year of my programs to see how often I discussed COVID, and it's been a lot, and the jab especially, and it's been a lot. And one of the things I said over a year ago, and matter of fact, this was way back in the beginning, do you remember, does anybody even recall when we talked about herd immunity? Like, I was thinking about that today. You don't hear that spoken of much anymore whatsoever. And I was thinking back when they were talking about that, because I do have a degree in biology, and I actually studied under Stahl, I forget his first name, I keep wanting to say it's Leslie, but that's that journalist. So it was, anyway, it was Dr. Stahl who originally worked, he was an intern working with Watson and Crick when they were defining the double helix of DNA. Well, Stahl went on to become this molecular biologist who studied phage lambda viruses, and he was one of my instructors at the University of Oregon. And he was a pretty smart guy. So anyway, as I was basically building my scholastic career in a way that I would be able to be allowed into dental school, I did kind of focus on biology. That was my major, and this one professor was one of the guys who I took a few classes from, and I got to study viruses along with him. So I understand how viruses work, and I said at the time, back when people were talking about herd immunity, and yet locking everybody down and social distancing and wearing masks and all that stuff, I said, hey, we're never getting to herd immunity if we don't allow this virus to travel through the population. And then as time went on, you know, we got to see all of the harm that was done to all the populations of the world because they followed these same recommendations from the World Health Organization and mainly Anthony Fauci and, you know, the U.S. federal government. But I remember, and I looked back, and I actually did a show on herd immunity, and that's the show I talked about how we weren't going to get there, that it was impossible to actually get to herd immunity if you didn't actually let the herd get sick. And, it was kind of scary at the time because we were being terrified by, you know, disinformation. You know, the very thing that the mainstream media promoted and then defended against and actually encouraged social media platforms to ban any kind of discussion against whatever the government wanted to say, you know, and to squelch any kind of recommendation of other treatments, which is kind of why I'm going to talk about how we can heal from this spike protein, but I am not going to be extremely specific with certain things like medications because I don't want to be accused of practicing medicine or stepping out of my lane. I'll talk about the things that you should talk to your doctor about, and I'll talk about things that you can just do on a daily basis without anybody's, kind of recommendation or guidance, or it's stuff that you can do that you might do already. You know, some of the things that are recommended I've been doing since, well, shortly before I took the vaccine in the first place. You know, and I think there's a lot of people who, whether they took the vaccine or not, they have, if they got COVID, they have spike proteins that are damaging their body. And there's a way that you can neutralize the spike protein and heal from the damage it's done. And I think that's what's important, is to figure out, well, how do we heal? you know, what's the process? Like, we're not just stuck here with the spike protein. We're not just stuck here with the damage that's been done to us through this, what I call a biological weapon made in a lab. And by the way, there was a study done today. Let's bring this up so it's my background instead of that. So here we go. Less than 1 in 100 million chance that COVID-19 has a natural origin. This is a new study. The endonuclease fingerprint indicates a synthetic origin of SARS-CoV-2, published on a preprint server, BioRxiv, concludes that this is highly likely that the SARS-CoV-2 virus that causes COVID-19 originated in a laboratory. I mean, come on. I said for 2 years, basically, we are going to find out the truth about this virus and this vaccine. It's going to take some time because, you know, way back then, you couldn't talk about it. You certainly couldn't do any research about it. You couldn't gather any statistics because the federal governments were hiding everything, and for a very good cause. They were hiding everything because they knew that what they had approved as a vaccine wasn't going to prevent people, hadn't even been tested to see if it was going to prevent people from getting the virus. So, of course, with the lockdown of information and people losing their jobs and having their careers being put on hold and medical doctors having their licenses pulled and facing disciplinary action by the medical boards, there was just, you know, there was that dark period. It's kind of like back in the medieval days when they burned all the literature, you know, when they would take over a country and just burn all the literature because they didn't believe it. And then you have this huge, you know, time in history when, you know, there's little historical accounts of what went on because the information was burned or destroyed in some way or another. And we had that here in the United States. We had that here on the good old planet Earth, because we had social media platforms that had become the main way of communicating, and they just locked out opposing views. Last week, I talked about the insurrection that is already occurring in the United States, and it's not the one that happened on January 6th. It's the one that's happening every day. The people of the United States are under attack by the FBI, the CIA, the NIH, and quite possibly the United Nations. Who knows? Maybe I'll come up on their list. I don't know. I'm not that popular. But that's the truth, man. When you start censoring free thought and free speech so that, you know, you can't even have discussions about information, you've basically already begun your insurrection. And in my opinion, it's already happening. So one of the stories that I came across this week, I am going to get to this information on the damage that the vaccine does and how we heal from it. But look at this report. This is from the Epoch Times health section, how cancer deaths from the COVID jabs are being hidden. And this is something that I brought up way back when they were talking about herd immunity, but causing everybody to lock down and wear masks and social distance. And I made a kind of a local application, how it was affecting dentistry, and people weren't being able to get in and get their dental exams done. And part of a dental exam is a cancer screening. If you look at some studies, they say, like, you know, I don't know, 20% of the patients that come into your office could have some kind of a lesion, and then a much smaller percentage of the people with lesions develop cancer. Well, if you've reduced the number of people you see per day from 30 to 8, you know, there's a ton of people who aren't being seen where you can catch those cancerous lesions or lesions that need further evaluation, and referring those out to an oral surgeon or ENT or medical or, you know, whatever. And they went undiagnosed. And that's what's happening with some of these other cancers. So it says the fact that tumor sizes have become dramatically larger since 2021, patients are younger, and recurrence and metastasis are increasing should be front page news, but you're not hearing anything about it. Why is that? This former intelligence officer and strategist believes he knows why. And of course you know why. Is because they don't want you to understand the damage they have done to the human population. They don't want you to know that what they did has caused this damage. So more and more people are going to die or suffer very serious consequences from having their cancers not diagnosed, you know, sooner rather than later. Cancers that could have been diagnosed in a treatable stage are now going to be, you know, stage 4 cancer, basically hopeless treatment outcomes. And this is sad, man. But I'm glad that we're getting to the point where people are actually starting to see the actual damage that has been done by what the federal governments and the world governments, the World Health Organization, and mainstream media and social media platforms have all done. And they are all responsible for these deaths. Nobody's going to be able to, you know, wash their hands of the damage that they've done. At least in my opinion, there's a price to be paid. At least in my opinion, nobody is above the law. Now, it looks like people are above the law, especially right now, because nobody's being held accountable. There's a commercial here in Oregon that plays every day the Democrats run, and they say the Republican opponent wants Anthony Fauci tried for mass murder, and I'm like, hell yeah, we do, you know? There's a lot of us who aren't, you know, political or running for office or whatever that want Anthony Fauci tried for mass murder. That's exactly what he did. Especially if they make any kind of link between him knowing that this jab juice didn't prevent transmission of the disease, yet they sold it as if it was going to prevent transmission of the disease. Then yeah, he needs to be held accountable. He needs to pay the price for murdering a couple million people. And that's just in the United States. He really ought to be held accountable for murdering people throughout the world, because a lot of people relied on his information. You know, other countries relied on the United States, you know, that we used to be like this powerhouse leader in the world with our information and our medicine and our military and our technology. And everybody was like, hey, if they're doing it, we should do it too. And then guess what? You're just killing people left and right. Now, there were some, like, I don't know why. In fact, I'm just going to say it. There is no reason anybody needs this vaccine. There is no age group that needs this vaccine. None. Because it doesn't do what it's supposed to do. It causes a lot of damage. You know, you've heard me say before, it doesn't protect you from getting it, the virus. It doesn't keep you from transmitting the virus. It doesn't keep you from going to the hospital. It doesn't keep you from dying. Although they'll argue that it shortens the span of the disease. But really, I mean, if they didn't even test it to see if it prevented transmission, do you think they have any kind of a database that shows that it shortened the longevity of the disease? And I can tell you, like I said before, it's kind of like Schrodinger's cat. You just can't, because you don't know. If I got COVID tomorrow and I was sick for 7 days, and they would say, well, you would have been sick for 10. But if I got sick tomorrow with COVID and I was sick for 3 weeks, they would say, well, you would have been sick, you know, for 6 weeks or something. But there's no way of knowing until you actually get the disease to see how your body's going to respond to it. But, you know, so the federal government and World Health Organization says, well, we really need, you know, well, really the elderly need to, you know, if you're over 70 years old, you really should get the vaccine. But why? If it doesn't do what they say it should do, why should you get it? And especially, you know, why the CDC now recommends that they're going to just add it to the vaccine protocol for kids to get into school, public school. And I think, no, there's no reason. How are you going to justify that? I mean, today, yes, you can justify that because you have still the social media platforms kind of on your side. Although Twitter's been taken over by Elon Musk, he's finished the purchase of Twitter, and now, you know, maybe some more information is going to get out. But, you know, half the population still believes that the government, you know, has some kind of vaccine that actually does something, and the federal government doesn't have a vaccine that does something. It does nothing except harm certain parts of your body. And certain systems in your body. Let's see. Let me just look through this. I just briefly read this story. I really didn't need to read it much because I already knew. I actually said this very thing was going to happen. The cancers were going to be larger. Tumors were going to be larger. Cancers were going to be more. How could they not? Because if you had a cancer, if you, let's say, you found a lump in your breast two years ago. You couldn't go to the frickin' doctor. They had them all locked down. You couldn't go to the ER. You couldn't go to the hospital. You couldn't, you know, they were seeing so few people. The waiting list was so damn long that by the time you got in, it was going to, you know, the cancer would have advanced. I'm not going to say it would be too late. But it would have been later than if you found this lump and you called your primary care today and said, hey, I'd like to get in. I want you to check this lump in my breast or wherever. And then they go, okay, we'll get you in 2 weeks. Okay, 2 weeks. Yeah, the cancer is going to be worse, but it's not going to be 4 months worse or 6 months worse or 2 years worse. It's going to be 2 weeks worse. Still maybe something that they could do something about. And there's plenty of diseases that happen to people that can get to an advanced stage quickly or even slowly. A year or two is a long time to wait on some disease that's affecting your body, that's affecting your health, that's actually deteriorating your ability to live healthy. And all of them have been put on the back burner. So anyway, let's get to some of the stuff that I've found. So let's see what this is. So this says, studies have shown that the spike proteins can reduce and exhaust the action of T and natural killer cells. So T cells and natural killer cells. These two cell types are responsible for killing infected cells and cancerous cells. Therefore, a reduced cellular immunity from T and natural killer cells can contribute to an untimely clearance of spike-infected cells. So here you already have, you know, one example of what the spike protein actively does to actually increase the risk of cancer. Because these two cell types, T cells and natural killer cells, are responsible for killing cancerous cells. And the spike protein interferes with those cells. It exhausts the action, it says, of T and natural killer cells. So in other words, your T and natural killer cells are probably going after cells that are trying to produce this, trying to assemble this spike protein. And so you have a bunch of immune cells that are trying to assemble the spike protein, and your T and natural killer cells are going in trying to kill those cells and take out the trash, and now there's nothing left for, there's no, none of those cells available to go kill the cancer that's in your liver or your pancreas or your colon. So it basically cripples your immune system from taking care of business. Damage from spike proteins can lead to damaged DNA. And studies have shown that spike proteins can also reduce... Let me see. Do I have a link to this? Hang on. It's another study. They're pretty good studies, though. You know, I'm just going to take an aside here for a minute. I just want to tell you, if you come across some articles like this and it refers to a study, go read the study. You'd be surprised at how much you can get from reading these studies. Yeah, there's some stuff in there that you may not follow right away, and it's probably not important. The important thing is, do you get the gist of what they're saying? And if you get the gist of it, you can go back and look and see if, you know, there's something in there that you really need to know. You know, like there's a lot of abbreviations or a lot of, you know, Greek assignments to, you know, different cells or whatever. Well, you know, it's probably not important that you understand that very little piece as long as you're getting the overall idea. So don't be afraid to read these studies. If you're interested, I'm always interested because I want to go to the source and see, well, what did they really say? And what did they really find? Because sometimes there's been some, even in the last 2 days, I brought up, I can't remember what the story was today. I was reading this article. I go, this would be a pretty good article to talk about. And when I actually read the study, it was like, no, that's not really what they said. So it's kind of good if you can go to the source material yourself and, you know, say, hey, this is not accurate, or at least I can't talk about it as if that's going to be helpful to people because it doesn't look like it is. It's not the truth. In my opinion, you know, based on my knowledge, my experience, my education, you know, I'm going to rule it out if I think it's not accurate. And not on a political basis, it's just on the facts, right? Where did I leave off? These two cell types? No, I got that. Okay, damage from spike proteins can lead to damaged DNA. And studies have shown that spike proteins can also reduce DNA repair. Psychological and environmental stress such as ultraviolet light, pollutants, oxidants, and many other factors can routinely damage DNA, requiring constant repair. This is going to get interesting because some of the stuff I'm going to tell you about that you can use to repair your DNA, you're probably going to enjoy, actually. It's not like taking a shot or having to eat something that tastes terrible. You're going to be surprised. Damaged DNA puts cells at risk of becoming cancerous. So here again, another part of the spike protein that actually enhanced the ability of people to get cancer. And so why are people going to be surprised in a couple months when they find out more and more people are dying of cancer? Because nobody's aware, nobody has been made aware of what damage the spike protein does inside our bodies that puts us at higher risk of getting cancer. Damaged DNA puts cells at risk of becoming cancerous, and these cells should be killed to prevent cancer formations. However, with reduced T and natural killer cell activity, this may lead to unchecked proliferation of potentially cancerous cells. Merrick said that the critical aspect of long-term spike protein damage is that it inhibits autophagy, your body's way of recycling damaged cells. Usually when cells have been infected with viral particles, the cells will try to break these particles down and remove them as waste. So, of course, imagine this. You have cells that are trying to put the spike protein together, and, of course, your body's trying to clean up those cells because it says, hey, We don't want parts of that virus, you know, cruising through our body here, so we're going to try and destroy them. However, studies on SARS-CoV-2 viruses have shown that autophagy processes are reduced in infected patients. Like I said, it's kind of an exhaustion of your immune system trying to get rid of, like, the spike protein, the cells who are trying to produce the spike protein, and so there's not enough cells available to take care of cancerous and other infected cells, with spike proteins present many months after the initial exposure. The spike protein is a really wicked protein, says Merrick. It switches off autophagy. That's why the spike can stay in cells for such a long time. Let me grab a drink here. Looks like I put this paragraph in there twice, sorry. Okay, so people with long COVID and post-vaccine syndromes often experience chronic fatigue, brain fog, exercise intolerance, and muscle weakness. These symptoms are also often seen in people with mitochondrial dysfunction, indicating a possible link. Spike proteins have been shown to be particularly damaging to cells that line blood vessels. Spike proteins can bind to the ACE2 and CD147 receptors and trigger inflammatory pathways. And so what happens when you trigger an inflammatory pathway? Turns on your immune system. You know, it's going to just create havoc. These receptors are particularly abundant in cells of blood vessels, heart, immune system, ovaries, and many other areas. So let's look at some of the ways we can fix the damage. One sec, got a cough. Okay, I'm probably wet my whistle again. Now, before I get into repairing the damage that this spike protein causes, and remember, I'm talking about spike protein, whether it came in the vaccine or whether you got it through having COVID. You're going to have spike proteins around. More than likely, if you got COVID, hopefully, and you're a decently healthy human being, you're just going to take care of the whole infection and have a natural immunity, and you'll be fine. But it wouldn't hurt to go through some of these detoxing processes. But here's one thing that came up that I was really, I wasn't surprised by. I don't know how many people like rinse their sinuses. I'm actually always surprised when I mention it to my patients. Like, hey, you know, if you, especially people who have periodontal infections or were trying to get their biofilm kind of in balance, that's a whole nother subject. But let's just say, to try and help them kind of establish a healthy biofilm, we're trying to get rid of as much infection that's in their mouth and their body as possible. One of the things that I can recommend is a sinus rinse. Now, I'm just going to tell you, like here in my house, there's two people who sinus rinse, like happily, because we believe it does wonders. And there's one person who can't. They just can't tolerate it. And it's really kind of bums me out because I think it would do them so much good if they could sinus rinse because they have constant sinus infections and problems with their sinuses. And now I sinus rinse pretty regularly. I wouldn't say every day, but, you know, a few times a week. If I feel something is coming on, or if I've been exposed to somebody who's sick, like if there's people that are sick in my office, if the grandkids come back from, you know, a three-day trip to wherever, and they're sniffling and sneezing and coughing, I start rinsing my sinuses. It's a buffered saline solution that you put in whatever device you use to rinse your sinuses with. I have a squeeze bottle that works fantastic. I use lukewarm water because I tried cold. That's like have an ice cream brain freeze, and I wouldn't try hot because that sounds stupid, putting hot water in your sinuses. But like a lukewarm water and a pH balanced saline rinse, And I know people, like even when I was told to do this, I was told to do this way back when I had a sinus surgery because I had polyps. That was about 30 years ago. And the ENT doc said, I want you to start rinsing your sinuses. I was like, oh. I go, how do you do that? And he goes, oh, you just get this neti pot or, you know, squeeze bottle, and, you know, you just put it in one side of your nose and it'll come out the other. And I was thinking, oh, I'm going to drown. You know, that's what's going to happen, is I'm going to drown for sure. Like, how am I going to breathe? Well, the funny thing is, you'll breathe just fine through your mouth. And you can actually squeeze this bottle and let it go down your throat even. It's not going to go in your windpipe. Just don't suck in air when you're doing it. But it cleans out your sinuses. And, you know, that's why you have a nose. Is a nose helps protect you from getting bugs. You have nose hairs that help filter out debris from getting in your lungs. You have cells lining your nasal pharynx, which actually kind of kill bugs as they get into your body. And then throughout your lungs, you have these cells that are going to kill viruses and bacteria that are trying to get in your body. So if you can get rid of, so let's say the kids come home and they've been at, you know, some camp out with 100 other kids, which just happens several times during the year. And they come back and they're coughing and sniffling and sneezing, and, you know, one's has a fever and one's just got over a fever. I start rinsing, man, because the assault that's taken place on my body in those early hours are high. Like, the viral load in the air is high. So I want to reduce that possibility as much as possible. And one way to do it is literally, physically rinsing it out of your nose. So I recommend it. You know, get used to it. I mean, watch some videos on it or something if you haven't done it before. It's actually really good for you, too, because it doesn't leave your nasal, your sinuses dry or anything. It kind of lubes them up. It's actually really good for you. So it's going to be one thing that I can recommend without worrying about, you know, being challenged by the American Dental Association and have them, you know, pull my license tomorrow, which I guess would be okay. Then I could just go ahead and retire. So let's talk about healing, actually healing once you've had either COVID or the jab and you have spike protein in your body. So the first step I'm going to bring this up because I want you to have reference to this. So this is spike protein disrupting immunity in millions after COVID infection or vaccination. Here's how it's being treated, okay? And that, this is a really long article. I'm not kidding. But there's some really good information in here. I'm just going to talk about some of the parts that I pulled out that I thought, you know, this is going to be kind of the summary of what they've said. And plus, other articles have also come out. Like, there's some things that probably are not in here. Like, it seems to me, I don't think I talk about zinc in here. And zinc actually comes up quite often as a, you know, one of those minerals that will help you detoxify, but it's not in here. So it says the first step is to remove the spike protein. The second step is to reduce its toxicity. And by toxicity, they mean the things that it does to your body. You know, toxic means it's doing something bad to your body. It's either killing cells, interfering with processes, or whatever. The body will then heal itself, and this is the primary treatment goal, said Merrick. Most of the first-line treatments have focused on clearing out the spike protein by reactivating autophagy, a process that is downregulated by the spike protein. Talked about that a few minutes ago. Lifestyle implementations can boost autophagy through intermittent fasting and photobiomodulation. Big words for, you know, fasting some period of every day or every other day. Like 12 hours. Let's take 12 hours, I'm not going to eat. Or 8 hours, I'm just not going to eat. So intermittently fast. But that means no eating. None. Like no food with calories. You can drink water, or expose something without calories. I don't know though. I think the best thing to do is just fast and drink water. And photobiomodulation means go stand in the sun and not with all your clothes on. Now, I don't want anybody running out and getting sunburned, but what I'm saying is you got to expose yourself to the sun to get the infrared rays that boost autophagy in cells. Remember, autophagy is the body's process of putting cells to work, going and killing other cells and taking out the trash that those cells are harboring, like spike protein fragments or virus fragments or virus bodies that the cells are putting together. Intermittent fasting requires the subjects not to consume any calorie-containing food, and intermittent highlights the characteristics of an alternating fasting time. Intermittent fasting can include alternate day fasting, so one day of eating, one day off, time-restricted feeding, which means I'm not going to eat anything until noon the next day, or whatever time frame you choose, whole day fasting, which, you know, sun up to sundown or, you know, morning to morning, whatever, and modified fasting methods. Alternate day fasting, ADF, means that the fasting day and the feeding day alternate each day. Okay, so here we come to the first drug. Now, this is one of those things I would say you got to talk to either your primary doctor, which I would recommend getting in touch with your primary doctor and saying, hey, I want a prescription for ivermectin to clear out this spike protein, or to treat me for post-COVID exposure syndromes or post-COVID vaccination syndrome. And if they won't do it, then go find somebody who will. There's a place online. I'm not going to tell you who it is. If you want, write me either in the chat room or send me an email to, I think it's info@redneckdentist.com. We'll do it. Or leave a message wherever the podcast is, and I'll tell you where to go, where there's a doctor who will write you a prescription and get you this ivermectin. It would be much easier to have your primary care physician do it. Guaranteed. Some of them are still afraid, and can you blame them? They just want to make a living. You know, like I said before, they just want to live life, man. And by living life, they don't want any hassles from the American Medical Association or anybody else taking their license and prohibiting them from practicing. Anyway, the good guys will get you this ivermectin. Anyway, and they will also tell you how much you need to take, because ivermectin is, you know, kind of weight-related prescription, basically. Like, yeah, you could OD on it, but really, if you just take, like, roughly an adult dose, and you're roughly an adult, like 200-pound adult, you're probably going to be okay. If you're a 100-pound adult and you take a 200-pound dosage, I don't know, you're probably going to get sick. But maybe not, I don't know. Ivermectin also directly opposes the pro-inflammatory pathways that are triggered by the spike protein, including, it doesn't matter, the NF-kb pathway that activates inflammatory cytokines and toll-like receptor 4. An entire article on how effective ivermectin is and how it works against viruses, especially SARS-CoV-2, is available. Here's another drug. Low-dose naltrexone has recently made the news as an option for long COVID treatment. I'm not going to get into that drug because it's also used, I think, in maybe some kind of opioid addiction treatment. So this is another one that you should go to your primary care doctor and say, listen, you know, especially if you've been exposed, if you have long COVID symptoms or post-COVID vaccination. Hey, I have to do one thing. Hang on. For all of you listening live, just hang on. We have a camera problem I have to fix real quick. before I finish. Let's see. Nope, it may not. That's okay. The next thing I'm going to talk about, we'll try and bring this camera up. Yeah, there it is. Okay. All right. We got to start the recorder again. All right, here we go. All right, so the next thing I'm going to talk about is resveratrol. Resveratrol is a nutricidal commonly found in fruits. It can be found in peanuts, pistachios, grapes, red and white wine, blueberries, cranberries, and even cocoa and dark chocolate. So listen, because this is important. I sound like I'm lecturing. Oh, okay. It can also be obtained through vitamins, though there is generally a low bioavailability of resveratrol, and therefore the FLCCC recommends it to be taken with quercetin. So if you're getting your resveratrol through vitamins, you want to make sure you're drinking a tonic water to take your vitamins, because it's going to work better. But honestly, just drink some red wine. Or eat some dark chocolate, or eat some cranberries or blueberries. Anyway, there's a whole list of stuff here that actually is pretty damn tasty that you could do every day. And the benefit is resveratrol actually repairs DNA. Is that crazy or what? So resveratrol is an anti-inflammatory and antioxidizing agent. Studies have shown it to be selective in killing cancer cells. It activates DNA repair pathways and therefore can reduce cellular stress and prevent the formation of cancerous cells. Like, how good is that? And this is the thing I was talking to the nurses in cardiac rehab last week about, because they actually had resveratrol and red wine and dark chocolate up on the board as things that were heart healthy. And after I read this article, I went back to them and go, hey, guess what else resveratrol is good for? And they wanted me to share the article with them, and I shared the article with them. And, you know, it was kind of a bonus because they didn't know this stuff, which is kind of crazy. I didn't know it either. And all of us have been through, you know, a scientifically charged academic background. And of course, a lot of this stuff has been found out, hell, since I left school. We were still carrying around stone tablets when I was in school. I'm sort of kidding about that. Hey, low-dose aspirin, too. Similar to ivermectin, aspirin is another drug that has been found to be multifaceted in its effects on health. Aspirin is an anti-inflammatory and an anticoagulant. The drug, therefore, reduces the chance of microclot formation in blood vessels. It can also reduce the pro-inflammatory pathways, oxidative stress, and is also neuroprotective. Melatonin promotes mitochondrial health. So here's another thing, melatonin. By reducing active oxygen species, because the mitochondria uses a lot of oxygen when it is stressed through environmental toxins such as radiation or spike protein exposure, and it may produce reactive oxygen. Let's see. Oh, we got a minute left. Man, that was awesome. I think I got pretty much through all of this stuff. Let's see. Yeah, due to its antioxidizing property, melatonin repairs DNA damaged by free radicals. Melatonin and its metabolites also activate genes that promote DNA repair and suppress gene activity that may lead to damaged DNA. So here you go. There's a lot of stuff in there that I think some stuff is freely available, stuff that you could do every day, stuff you can do to help yourself heal from either having COVID or repairing from the vaccine. A lot of that stuff I'd been doing since I got the vaccine, even before I got the vaccine. It didn't help me. I mean, it probably did help me. It probably did save my life. I got 5 seconds left. I'll see you guys on Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Thanks. Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.